They turn up.
Oh God, I've done it. It's not fun.
So what's it like, Coach? Two practices in and getting out there and seeing everybody and getting into this thing.
It's really interesting, and I've done it a few places to watch the transformation from guys that just, you know, a lot of it's the same, a whole lot of it, but like some of the practice procedure and maybe some of the drills and what locations you need to be in during this period or that period, they're a lot different, I think. So it's just, you know, it's fun to see that transition from the first practice, which no one knew where to go, to the second where they actually knew where to go. So that was a plus, you know, and little things that you see them improve on. And that's what coaching, you know, coaching is fun because you get to watch the light come on, you know, and then all of a sudden, ultimately, you want them to kind of think like you think, and then they start doing that, and that's rewarding, you know. It makes you feel good as a coach that, okay, the lights come on and they're getting it, and now they're able to cultivate knowledge by teaching an incoming freshman or teaching the next guy, and it just kind of keeps revolving, you know, and it's just fun to watch that. So it was kind of like at OSU when Dana Holgorsen came in, we put, you know, air raid, and I went to Houston and kind of put in that version of it there, and then TCU, which they were a pro style and that, and now it's here. So it's just neat to watch it develop, and pretty soon, you know, it runs itself a little bit more, you know, and it's fun to watch.
Is it less of a transition because Beatty had it? Aerated.
Yeah, it's aerated. A lot of the terms and route structure and everything, it's really the same. You know, that portion of it's the same. There's a couple of things, but not really. It's all the same.
And when you went to TCU, it was new because they weren't doing aerated.
No, they weren't doing any of it. They were. I actually went to a game and watched them, and I wasn't quite sure what they were. Because one series they'd be in pro eye, next series they were empty, and the next series they were running option, and I was like, what are, I mean. So I walked away from that game not really knowing what they were. They were more of a pro-style run it, you know, before we got there. So the volume of receivers were pretty low, so we had to kind of deal with that early on. And just the running, you know, I think in a typical padded workout, you're going to run 5 to 6 miles as a receiver in one practice. Yeah.
When you went to TCU, had you been in offenses where the quarterback ran like you did out of the air raid? Or is that something you just kind of figured out?
It's just something that you got two trains of thought. You got, if you have Tom Brady, you got that style. And if you have Trayvon Boykin or Wilson, the guy at Seattle, I mean, there's a few more little things you can do in the run game with those guys. Some of the check plays you can check to a quarterback run or an option or a zone read or some of that stuff to get your numbers correct. So you can just do a few more things in terms of really like run game stuff, probably more than anything. But, you know, if you got, like when we had Brandon Weeden at OSU, I mean, we had Justin Blackman. And so a pocket quarterback made sense, you know, because Justin created a lot of things coverage-wise, and it made it easier. So you have that train of thought. Then you have the athletic guy, which – You just kind of throw a couple of little extra bells and whistles onto it. But the air raid system is always intact and within all of that. You know, it's always in there.
How would you define air raid? I've heard people say stretching the field vertically and horizontally on every single play.
Well, it's balance in a different way. A lot of people term balance as run-pass ratio. Balance in air raid is how many different guys touch the ball. That's balance. You know, if you come away with an X receiver with 5 catches and your Y's got 6 and your back's got 3 and plus 12 carries and your Z's got 8, you know, that's pretty good.
And is that designed to stretch in the defense out?
You always want to stretch and create isolations in anything you do. You never want 2 receivers in the same spot and 1 guy and cover them all. So you want to disperse and space everything you do. Everything flows together. The biggest thing about it is it's not timing, precision passing like a lot of the NFL teams and a lot of teams do in college. It's really the receivers do an enormous amount of study and coverage, you know, locating man zone coverage or single high or two high coverage and then processing leverages and We teach everything in a concept. There's not a route tree. You know, it's the five route, which the five is the whole route. You know what I mean? So now the receivers, all of them, learn the whole route in its entirety. So as an inside receiver, you know what this guy's route is, and you know what that guy's route is on the other side of the field. So you know your parameters that you can work in within that structure. Because there'll be different locations that you'll settle up in based on coverage.
And that way they stay out of each other's way.
Exactly. Kind of. And you get spacing, like you talked about. Mm-hmm. So you don't have two in one area. But it's kind of like it's get open with a purpose, you know, and with structure. So they process a lot of the same things the QBs do in terms of coverage.
So do they have to be more football intelligent than a non-air raid?
No, it's really fast. The inside guys, you know, there's a lot more little details of it. Outside guys, it's a little simpler because you're just dealing with corners pretty much all day long. And, you know, the inside guys, it could be a nickel, it could be a safety rolling down on you, it could be a linebacker. There's a lot of different variations of looks you can get in there. Have to see a lot more of the rotation of the coverage and adjust routes. Outside receivers, you know, it's not quite as stringent mentally, you know, probably. But you have to be longer and you have to be a fast guy that can, when you get single coverage, you can throw the fade and score. You know, you have to have that kind of guy somewhere.
So. Is it easy for you to look at your group and say, okay, he's an inside guy, he's an outside guy, he's both?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, X is your super fast guy, post takeoff guy. H is your punt returner, quick, twitchy guy. Y is the other inside guy, is your bigger, more physical, bang off backer, safety guy. And your Z is probably your best overall do everything guy. Crabtree, Justin Blackman, Dez Bryant, you know, those guys. Josh Doxson, they're all Z's, you know. So that's kind of how you disperse it and recruit it. In those trains of thoughts, and then ultimately it just ends up being your best four daggum guys. Mm-hmm. You know, people always ask me who catches the most ball, and you think, well, it's probably Z, and I'm not sure, but really it always goes down to the best player usually catches the most balls. Because I've had an H receiver that's had 100 plus catches, and I've had a Z that's had 120 something catches in a year. I've had Y's that's caught over 100 in a year. So it's just really your best guy.
Was Blackman a Z at Oklahoma State? Yeah.
He caught about 200-something balls in two seasons.
I think they were all against Kansas.
I think they were. I remember one time, a long time ago, we had a guy named Bowman. He had like 300 yards, I think, out here. We were losing at halftime. You remember that, Katie? Yeah. I remember at halftime going, I'm going to get fired. And after game, I'm like, yeah! So...
How much did you know about this receiving group, and how much did that kind of inspire your decision to take this job?
I knew about Quiv because, you know, he's a Texas kid, mm-hmm. and then saw Sims, just flashes of him. So that was encouraging. And then I knew they had, you know, Dalen, the kid that, you know, transferred in. And I knew they had some guys. And the whole time, like, you're in this league, a lot of people talk about, recently, you know, Kansas is, you know, turning the corner. You know, they're not a layup. You know, you got to prepare, and, you know, it's a little different vibe out there than what it was. You just feel like it's coming, you know. You feel like it's – Coach Beatty's such a – man, what a great leader of these kids and how you're supposed to do it, and what a great positive vibe there is in this office, you know, with all the coaches and assistants. And that just – when those players see those coaches happy and they're working hard, then they're going to do the same thing. You know, it's not misery. So he's a really good job of cultivating that atmosphere, you know.
So I think he said he was having fun just kind of poking his head in your meeting the other day.
Yeah, he always steps in and goes, that'll never work, and he walks out. That's all he says. Oh, yeah, that'll never work. Okay. We're talking about stretch lines, okay?
Are too many guys cats on pillows still? Or
well, you know what that is, right? Y'all seen a cat, so you know, pillow, like he does this? Well, you know, when you want them to line up fast, you don't want them, like, moving their feet around. Just get set, and that's just kind of a way for me to explain it. It's an analogy.
Coach, I know it's only two practices, but what have you seen from the quarterbacks?
Really not that much. You know, I've seen one practice, really. We're about to watch the second one because I'm watching coverage and receiver play. You know, Garrett's got the cues, so I'll watch him here in a minute. Just hard to tell because, one, there's no pads on, no live rush. That's where the rubber meets the road, you know. When there's a real chance you can get smacked upside the head, can you still continue to solve the puzzle in the back end? You know, there's a lot of guys that can throw pretty passes and look pretty on air. Can you see rotation and coverage and identify things as things are going after the ball is snapped? So we'll find out, you know.
With 15 practices, I mean, a quarterback competition, you coming in and getting a feel, is that something that definitely is going to go into fall camp and things like that, would you
say?
Very
possibly. I mean, there's no need to make a – why be in a hurry, really, you know. If you're going to call it, let's do it when we're absolutely sure. Let these guys fight it out. Let's find out. There's no rush. They both have good qualities, the two that are kind of in the lead, and just one has a little bit more of one thing than the other, and the other one has a little bit more of one thing than the other. Maybe we'll just see how it pans out, you know.
Beatty mentioned yesterday he was kind of surprised. He did something with Ryan Shadler, and he was kind of like, oh, that's kind of cool. I wish I'd have thought of that type of thing. Is that your favorite part of being an offensive coordinator, just like finding ways to use your personnel and exploit the
defense? Oh, yeah, Shadler's our track kid, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the depth chart. I was like, okay, there's 95 running backs up there. So I just kind of asked, oh, is there any of these kids that could possibly, go to the receiver and project in a different position or whatever, because we need some numbers, some volume, you know, there. And a couple of guys thought he'd be a guy, and he's done well so far, you know. Strong body, and he used to have some physical problems, you know, surgeries and things like that, and a lot of stuff I didn't really know about. Even at that point, I had no idea. But yeah, it's cool to project guys, and it works, you know. It's cool to mix something up together and it tastes really good, you know? And just all of a sudden it tastes good. So that's kind of, yeah, it's always good to project. I've seen a lot of guys like, you know, Gary Patterson is really good at taking high school running backs and making them DNs, or, you know, you learn from guys like that. Projecting guys, just looking at overall raw talent and not really pigeonhole them into one position just because that's what they want to be or what they play or whatever. You kind of look beyond that and see how they could actually fit somewhere else. And that's why it's important to have those camps, you know, see them.
What do you like about what you've seen from Dalen Charlotte so far?
He's just got natural raw talent. Mm-hmm. Just he has things that he can't teach. He's got strong hands, body control, twitch, competitive, you know. But he hadn't played in a while, so it's going to take him a little time. But he's got a lot of natural raw things that you want.
Did Taylor Martin's got wide receiver speed? Did that come up at all? Did you try to steal him?
I remember him. He was that Dunbar kid. He's Fort Worth kid, you know. And when they told me he was like one of the fastest kids on the team, I didn't really believe, because you've seen him. He's a thick.
Right.
I'm like, I can look at that two ways. One, he's really fast, or two, everyone else is really slow. But he is pretty quick, yeah. He's kind of built low to the ground and strong and catches the ball pretty well. And, you know, comes from his background's pretty rough, you know. The kid comes from nothing and he's taking advantage of his opportunities. You know, it's always fun to watch that too, you know, with kids that come from nothing and have a chance. Otherwise, their lives, they have no chance, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, football or just having some athletic ability, so. He's one of those guys, you know.
Is that your recruiting area, Fort Worth?
Is it? Yeah. So, yeah, that. And I have South Florida, kind of dabble in Oklahoma and Kansas, and I have a few connections, you know, West Coast stuff, maybe Scottsdale area, and some of California stuff, but primarily, like, probably Texas, because that's, you know, that's where I'm from, so.
How much bigger were you when you were blocking for Barry Sanders and Thurman Towns?
A lot bigger, probably about 60 pounds, you know, right now. I was really super ultra undersized lineman. I was an outside linebacker in high school. And then when I got to Oklahoma State, I'm looking around, and next thing I'm on offense as a tight end, and then a year later they told me I was moving to guard, and I almost quit. And I never played guard. I didn't know what guard was. And called my dad asking if there's what was the procedure to fill out an application to go work at General Motors with him. It was a bad day, but it worked out. Man, I started 3 years and had fun. But we didn't have to be very good up front because we had two Hall of Famers back there. We just had to know the snap count and just get out of the way, and it kind of worked out. You know, I wasn't very big, but in today's standards, I was tiny. You know, 265, that wasn't very big. But I went to work in a grain elevator right out of college in the summer during wheat harvest. Because I just didn't have any money, nothing. I mean, I was going to go work at NEO as a grad assistant coach with my roommate, who was from Apache, Oklahoma. And so I went back home with him and dumped wheat for a couple months and lost about 30 pounds in a month. You know, we were working 100 and some hours a week. I almost died. I mean, it was awful. But that kind of started it. And I always struggled putting it on. You know, I had to really... For all these people who think it's hard to lose, it's harder to have to gain. Like, can you imagine you just ate food and then an hour later you ate again? I mean, it's just miserable.
Yes. I know, but the average person, no.
Yeah, it's miserable. It's so miserable.
Were they, was it obvious to you these two guys were, like, not everybody has these two guys? Thurman Thomas and Barry Sanders, I mean.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, Thurman was highly recruited, highly touted, really good player. Barry was not. It was like us in Tulsa. And I think at one point he was a DB in the senior year play and just happened to play running back, and they just got lucky. Because back then there wasn't internet and all the recruiting websites or anything, you know. So guys could slip through the cracks. There wasn't camps, you know. There wasn't anything. There was like those all-night camps, and it was – I don't know. So I was telling somebody, they go, what are you going to do now that Thurman Thomas graduated? I said, the guy behind me is better. They're like, no, he's not. And then the opening kickoff the next year, he took it 100 and scored. I think his junior year, he had 40 touchdowns and 2,700 yards or something in 11 games. Yeah. Had, what, three or four games of 300 yards rushing? Yeah. And he came from the great state of Kansas.
That's right. Gale Sayers was born in Wichita, too.
Yeah. It's two pretty good ones.
Yes.